Well, tonight we come to the fifth name in our series on the Jehovah names of God. And it's the name Jehovah Tsidkenu. And I need to correct myself because I've not been pronouncing it right. I've been saying Tsidkenu or something like that. But I guess the more accurate way is Tsidkenu. But it's not that important. But I think the fact that I haven't been sure how to pronounce it, and nobody's corrected me, tells me that maybe this isn't as familiar of a name to us than some of the other ones. And I don't want to say that any name of God is more important than any of the others. They're all equally important and equally wonderful. But this name in particular really should be familiar to us. And in fact, one day it will be familiar to us for all eternity. And it's the name that means the Lord is our righteousness, like Jody was mentioning and we've been singing about. But we've looked at four other names of God so far. And the first name we looked at was Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord himself shepherds us on a daily basis. And we've been watching the various ways that he does that as we've been looking at Psalm 23. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So he provides all our needs and we shall not want, as Psalm 23 says. And he's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. So when our minds are stayed on him and we're thinking about who he is, he makes us to lie down free from fear, knowing that we have nothing to fear. And he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. He watches out for our souls and he restores our souls. And last time we looked at the parable of the good shepherd who finds his sheep who is cast down on his back with his feet sticking straight up in the air, a helpless sheep. And he goes and he finds the sheep and he puts him on his shoulders. And he, while he's carrying the sheep home, he's working on his legs to get the circulation going again. And he's constantly talking to the sheep. And I wanted to add tonight, you know, we think of the fish as the symbol of Christianity, especially during early Christianity. But they've actually found carvings in the catacombs that date even earlier than the fish. And it's not the cross or even an empty tomb, nothing like that. It's a strong shepherd with a sheep on his shoulders. So that's how the early Christians symbolized, so to speak, what their Christianity was all about, even before the fish became popular. So if you went away last time feeling like that cast sheep who needs to be close to the shepherd like that, restored and talked to like that, well, you're in good company, because the early Christians loved to think of their relationship with Christ in that way, like a good shepherd carrying his lost sheep. So these have all been really wonderful names. He's our shepherd, our provider, our peace, and our healer. And these, all of these names are evidence that he's concerned about our everyday lives. Even his names indicate that. But one day, these everyday lives with its brokenness and its joys, with the hurts and heartaches of life, they really won't matter anymore. He will still be all of these names for all eternity. They're not just names for our everyday lives. But the name Jehovah Tsidkenu has a special bearing on our eternity. The fact that he is the Lord, our righteousness, means we're going to fit in heaven. And it's not going to be enough then that we're forgiven, though that's essential, or even that he's paid the penalty for our sins, though that's so wonderful, it's hard to comprehend sometimes. But in order to be accepted by God and even allowed into heaven, we have to be righteous. But the problem is, the Bible says none is righteous. No, not one. And all of what we call our righteousness are just like filthy rags, as Isaiah said. And so we need to be made righteous. But one of God's names actually means that he is the Lord, our righteousness. He's the righteousness that we don't have in ourselves. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, we were made the righteousness of God in him. So if we're in Christ, God the Father accepts the righteousness of the Son as if it was ours. He's our righteousness. And I love what Spurgeon says so simply. He says, God considers us as though we were Christ. And I love to hear that, so I'll say it again. God considers us as though we were Christ himself. And that's essentially what it means that he's Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. And because that's his name, those of us who are in Christ are going to fit in a holy heaven. And that's the only reason we're going to be there. So this name should be familiar to us because we stake our eternity on this name. But we find this name in Jeremiah 23. This is where it's found in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 23. It's actually found twice in Jeremiah. The first time is in Jeremiah 23, in verse 5. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness," or as it's in the Hebrew, Jehovah Tsidkenu. So this, of course, is pointing to Christ, who will be the fulfillment of the Davidic prophecy. A king, a descendant of David, will reign and prosper. And it says here he's going to reign in righteousness. And he's going to bring righteousness to the earth. And Israel and Judah will be saved and will dwell safely. In fact, in another passage, it says that the shepherds will cause their flocks to lie down. And so it's going to be a time of peace and righteousness. And he will be called the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And that's why I said we're going to be familiar with this name. Because when he reigns on this earth, this is what he's going to be called. God will see him as our righteousness, and Israel will know him as their righteousness. And all believers will call upon him by this name, the Lord our righteousness. The word righteous means to be blameless, guiltless, innocent, sinless. And in the book of Jeremiah, these were not synonyms of the nation of Israel or Judah. God's people were not the holy people that God intended them to be, and they were taken into captivity because of their unrighteousness. Judah's last king, the last descendant of David to ever sit on the throne, was a man by the name of Zedekiah. And Zedekiah's original name was Mattaniah, but Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Zedekiah, which means Jehovah, or the Lord, is righteous. So we don't know exactly why Nebuchadnezzar changed his name. We're just kind of told that in passing. But it may have been out of mockery. King Zedekiah was far from being a righteous king. He was one of the many kings we were told about who was evil in the sight of the Lord. And Israel at this time was already in captivity because of their rebellion. They'd been in captivity for 100 years. The people of Judah, who Jeremiah is prophesying, his prophecy is to, they were about to be taken into captivity. So really there was nothing about the people of God to cause Nebuchadnezzar to come to the conclusion that their God was a righteous God. But for some reason, Nebuchadnezzar changed Judah's last king to his name to Zedekiah. And so the last king to sit on the throne of King David was Zedekiah, whose name means the Lord is righteous. And the next king to sit on the throne will be Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. So in the midst of the wickedness of the land and of unrighteous kings, of the mockery of foreign kings and the judgment of God, he gives this promise that someone would sit on the throne of David again, and he would solve the problem of sin, and he would be righteous, and he would bring righteousness, he would be the righteousness of his people. And so this name tells us that we have a God who can step into all of the brokenness and sin of our world, the kind of world where we need a shepherd and a provider and a healer and peace. And he can make it right. He can make righteous. And one day a king will reign in righteousness. And, you know, the Bible says a lot about the importance of nations being ruled by righteousness. They're blessed if they have righteous leaders. But this was one of Judah's problems. They didn't have very many righteous leaders. And if you look at the context, the immediate context of these verses, starting in verse 1, it says, "Woe be unto the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries to which I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So they were an unrighteous nation because they didn't have shepherds who were leading them in righteousness. Just like sheep without a shepherd or without a good shepherd, the people were lacking. They weren't lying down in peace. They weren't being fed. They were being led astray. But God says, "I will give you a king who will be the Lord your righteousness, and he will lead you in righteousness." And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the next description of our shepherd in Psalm 23 says that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So just like sheep, it's our nature to need a leader, and a leader who will lead us in righteousness. And one day, as we just saw in Jeremiah 23, he will sit on the throne and rule in righteousness. But today, as Jehovah Tsidkenu and Jehovah Rohi, he is leading us in paths of righteousness. And we're only about halfway through Psalm 23, but I think we've seen enough about our shepherd to agree that he's capable of leading us. And as a good shepherd, he leads us in paths of righteousness. And notice that he doesn't say, "He leaves me to find the paths of righteousness." You know, left to themselves, sheep won't find the right way. They can't find the right way. They need somebody out front who's walking the path in front of them, who's showing them exactly where to go, who's walking it first so they know their footing is going to be sure. They need somebody in a position up ahead, making sure that they're safely following behind. And like sheep left to ourselves, we'd never figure out or even choose the paths of righteousness. We need a leader who is righteous and is our righteousness. We need a shepherd who is leading the way. And this was really Israel and Judah's problem in Jeremiah. They had poor leadership. Their shepherds were leading them astray. And when they had no leader, as the book of Judges tells us, they did what was right in their own eyes. And what was right in their own eyes was never paths of righteousness. God led them, we're told, like a flock out of Egypt, but it wasn't long before they rejected his leadership and they rejected the paths of righteousness. And that's why we find them where we do in Jeremiah. They were needing a king who would rule in righteousness and who would be their righteousness. And we're all like sheep. We easily go astray. We turn everyone to our own way. And so that's why we need a shepherd whose life work is to care for us and whose life work is to lead us in paths of righteousness. In John 10, Jesus said that when he leads his sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. So the Lord doesn't follow behind and drive his sheep. He doesn't drive his sheep into paths of righteousness. He goes ahead of them and he leads them. He's out in front assuring us that he's been there before us. And he's being leading us by his example of righteousness. And he's choosing the best paths for us, the paths of righteousness. And he doesn't just lead us, he keeps us on the paths of righteousness. He leads us by making sure we're following behind. When Jesus said he goes before his sheep, he also said, "And they follow him, for they know his voice." And this is one of the reasons a shepherd doesn't have to drive his sheep. All a sheep needs is a voice that they can recognize and follow. I was watching a video clip of a couple of shepherds who were leading their sheep through a wilderness, and the only thing you heard on the entire clip was the voice of the shepherds. They were just constantly talking to the sheep. They were just constantly talking to them. And it was in a different language, so I didn't know what they were saying, but the sheep did, or at least they knew the voice. And really, that's all a sheep needs. They just need a voice that they recognize and can follow. They don't need to be driven from behind. They don't need a bit and bridle. You never see a sheep harnessed. They just need a good shepherd to follow, and they need to be able to hear his voice. And it makes me think of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, which says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." His words, like that constant voice of the shepherds, you know, recognized by the sheep, and really the only guidance that they needed. And all we need is a shepherd to follow, and we have a shepherd. And all we need is to be able to hear his voice, and we do. We can hear his voice. When David said, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness," he was admitting that he didn't choose those paths. He had placed his whole life in the care of his shepherd. And because his shepherd was out front, leading him and going before and making sure he was following, then David was being led in paths of righteousness. His only role in the whole thing was to just follow the shepherd's leading. One commentator I was reading said that there are three kinds of sheep, and it's not going to sound like I'm describing sheep, but I really am. This really is characteristics of sheep. The first kind of sheep are the restless, discontented sheep. And these sheep don't listen for their shepherd's voice. They're always looking for greener pastures. They're always looking for their own path. And then there are sheep who care only about their own interests. And what's interesting is that in any given flock of sheep, this actually represents the majority of the sheep. They make sure that they're within earshot of the shepherd, but their own interests mean more to them. And these sheep are constantly checking out a bush over here or a puddle over there. And occasionally they look up to see where the shepherd is, but their own interests are more important to them. But then there are the sheep who are always right near the shepherd. And these sheep are always the most contented sheep. They are never in danger of getting lost or being attacked by a wild animal. They're near the shepherd all the time. And the goal of the shepherd is to teach his sheep, all of his sheep, to be that kind of sheep. In Psalm 63, David said, "My soul follows close behind you." And I wonder if he was thinking of the sheep in his own flock who were always right next to him, following close behind him. And when David wrote Psalm 23, he wasn't a discontented sheep. He wasn't a sheep concerned only about his own interests. He really was someone who was following close behind his shepherd. And that was the reason why he could say that he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Jesus said he goes before us, leading us, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the closer we are to the Lord, the easier it will be to hear his voice and to follow. So sheep can't be left to themselves, but they don't need to be driven, and they don't need to be harnessed. They just need a voice they recognize leading the way. And really leading the way all the time. David doesn't say here, "He leads me into the paths of righteousness." He says he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He doesn't lead us into the right path and then leave us to just find our own way. He constantly leads us in paths of righteousness. So sheep need a good shepherd leading the way all the time, or they're going to go astray. And that's the kind of shepherd David says that we have. But notice also that he leads us in paths. A path indicates that there's an intentional way. There's a definite starting point. The road itself has a purpose, and there's a destination, a point where the path is going to come to a stop. And when the Lord became our shepherd, we began on the paths of righteousness. The Psalms on a couple of occasions says the Lord knows our path, so they're meaningful paths. And though each of our paths are different, every one of our paths has the same destination. In verse 6, it says, he says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So he's leading us in paths, and so our lives are a meaningful, well-planned existence. We started out on these paths, and Psalm 48 says he will be our guide even unto death. So he started us on these paths. They're purpose paths that he knows very well. And he leads them until we come to the end of the path. It says he will be our guide even unto death. But we're also told that they're paths of righteousness. Psalm 85, verse 13 says, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. So Jesus said he goes before his sheep and they follow him. But righteousness goes even before him. So that's what sets us in the way of his steps. And that's always the first indication that we're on the right path, if it's a path of righteousness. And if he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, and we stand in this position before him, accepted as righteous and considered as righteous as Christ himself, it really should go without saying that he'd be concerned that our daily paths are paths of righteousness. This is where our standing in Christ's righteousness, our positional righteousness, comes down to where we live and touches our practical righteousness. You know, a life of righteousness that matches who we are in God's sight. He doesn't lead us in paths of righteousness in order to add to that righteousness that we are already clothed in. I love what John Newton said in one of his hymns. He said, when through grace in Christ our trust is, justice smiles and asks no more. So he doesn't lead us in paths of righteousness to add to what he's already done, but he leads us there because that's who we already are. We're the righteous. You know, the scriptures often call the God's people the righteous. He leads us in paths of righteousness, so because his desire is for us to live up to that name, to who we really are in Christ. But again, we're only called the righteous because of what he's called, Jehovah Tsidkenu, because he is our righteousness. So just like we need him to be our righteous standing before God, we need him to lead us in paths of righteousness. So he's our righteousness not only in the world to come, but also in the world that we live in today. But why? Why does God go to all the trouble to lead us and to lead us in paths of righteousness? Well, we're told in Psalm 23 that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. So this phrase, for his namesake, it actually sits right here in the middle of the psalm, like a hinge between all we've already heard about the shepherd and all that he's about to tell us about the shepherd. It's really the motivating factor behind everything that we learn in this psalm. It's for his name's sake. And this phrase is found right after the fact that our shepherd leads us in paths of righteousness, because when his people walk in ways of righteousness, it's a reflection of his character. When Nebuchadnezzar changed the king of Judah's name to Zedekiah, meaning the Lord is righteous, it may have been out of mockery. We don't know that for sure. But we do know that God's people hadn't been reflecting the character of God. God said in Isaiah 43:12, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. So he leads us in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake, because our lives are a reflection of his character. But he also shepherds us for his namesake. His own reputation is at stake in the way he shepherds us, in what happens to us. Many times in the Old Testament, the prophets interceded for God's people by appealing to his name, to his reputation, to how his own actions towards his people would appear to the nations. Jeremiah prayed on one occasion, though our iniquities testify against us, do this, whatever he was praying for your name's sake. In other words, he was saying, we don't deserve this, but for your honor among the nations, hear my prayer. Moses also pleaded with God the same way. Several times Moses prayed that God would work on behalf of his people for the sake of God's glory and for his reputation. And he wasn't so concerned about Israel's prestige among the nations, but about what the nations would say about God. When the people of Israel rejected God's leadership over them and they asked for a king, Samuel called their request wickedness. But he also told them that God wouldn't forsake them for his great name's sake. And, you know, they dishonored his name over and over again by their sin. But for his own namesake, God has never forsaken Israel. But he also shepherds us for his namesake because this is who he is. And that's why the study of his names has been such an important part of our study of Psalm 23. You know, we can be sure that he will provide for us and give us peace and heal and lead us in righteousness. Because this is who he is. He's our provider, Jehovah Jireh, and he's our peace, our healer, our righteousness. He does all of this for his own name's sake because that's who he is. It's on the basis of who he is, and that's why we can trust him. So what truly motivates our shepherd? Well, he loves and cares about us. That's obvious in his names, who he is. But really something higher than us drives him to shepherd us in the way that we've been studying. It's really his own name. David prayed in Psalm 31:3, "For your name's sake, lead me and guide me." And in the same way, this really should be the motivating factor behind our desire for him to work in our lives, for him to provide for us and lead us and give us peace and to heal. Our own prayers and desires should be driven by that same motive for his name's sake, so that his character will be properly reflected in our lives and so that the world will see that we serve a God who is worthy of our trust. And our prayers should be an appeal for God to answer on the basis of who he is. So even our own prayers and desires should be driven by this same motive. It's for his name's sake. Now, the name Jehovah Tsidkenu is going to be familiar to us for all eternity. The Lord, our righteousness, we stake our eternity on it. But there's actually one more time in Jeremiah that the name Jehovah Tsidkenu is mentioned. And we'll close with this. It's in chapter 33, Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 15. "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name by which she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." It's really almost word for word the exact same prophecy that we read in chapter 23. But this time it says, "She shall be called the Lord our righteousness." So not only the king himself, but Jerusalem will be called this. The people of God as a whole will be called Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. So for his own name's sake, the people of God will be declaring by their own name that the Lord is our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And we'll be in eternity and we'll fit there. Only because he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, and will be there really for his name's sake. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these truths. Thank you for who you are. And thank you that we have all of eternity to praise you for being our righteousness. I thank you that we have that assurance that we will be there, not based on who we are, but on who you are. And I pray that our lives will reflect the righteousness of Christ, that we really are in him. Thank you so much for that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.